The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, November the 13th, 2017. Hola, Bardophiles, and welcome to the 177th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included, KCUR ran the story of an upcoming lecture, Shakespeare and Sensuality with Tina Packer, which was actually this past Thursday in Kansas City, Missouri. WNPR, public radio out of Connecticut, previewed a now-past panel discussion of how to make Shakespeare relevant in the 21st century, which sounds great. Huffington Post reviewed Pericles, Born in a Tempest by Hunger and Thirst and Guerrilla Theater in New York City, through November the 18th, calling the reimagining of the play both fantastical and heart-tuggingly real. First Post reviewed the latest Shakespeare adaptation to come out of Bollywood, The Hungry, which is an adaptation of, you guessed it, Titus Andronicus, calling it magnificent. Hope I get a chance to see this sometime soon. And finally, The Guardian reviewed the new production of Twelfth Night by Royal Shakespeare Company, giving it 3 of 5 stars, and saying the production's desire to cram in as many Victorian England references, its setting, is taken to excess. The Panoptic also reviewed the production, running in Stratford-upon-Avon, calling the production bittersweet, dynastic, and compelling. The Reviews Hub also reviewed the production, running through February 24th of next year, saying that it is utterly recommended. The Telegraph also reviewed it, giving it 3 of 5 stars. And for the life of me, I don't know why, as the text of the review itself is pretty unrelentingly positive. And the Times also reviewed it, giving it 3 of 5 stars, saying that not everything flows smoothly, but it is still richly rewarding. Now, let's take a look back at the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On November the 7th, 1422, Henry V was buried at Westminster Abbey, a little more than 2 minutes after his death by dysentery while on his third military campaign in France. On November the 8th, 1989, the soundtrack album for Kenneth Branagh's film version of Henry V was released in the U.S. The film marked the beginning of a long-running creative relationship between Branagh and the soundtrack's composer, Patrick Doyle. On November the 9th, 1389, Isabella of Valois was born. She had been the second wife of Richard II, wed to him in a political marriage when she was 9 years old and he was 29. Richard had been widowed 4 years earlier. When Richard died in prison, Henry IV ordered her, then a whopping 11 years of age, to marry his son, the soon-to-be Henry V. Isabella refused, but her younger sister Catherine ended up as Henry's bride, as depicted in Henry V. Isabella, on the other hand, wed her cousin, Charles of Orléans, 6 years after Richard's death. She died in childbirth 3 years after that, at the ripe old age of 19. On November the 10th, 1925, Richard Burton was born. Burton was one of the greatest Shakespearean actors of his generation, known for playing Hamlet in the longest run of the play on Broadway in 1964. He was married to Elizabeth Taylor, twice, and 3 other women as well, and with Taylor, he starred in a film version of The Taming of the Shrew in 1967. On November the 11th, 1937, Orson Welles' production of Julius Caesar opened at the Mercury Theater in New York City. Striking because of its heavily edited script, revolutionary set and lighting design, and modern dress, evoking contemporary fascism in Italy, and coming hot off the heels of his so-called Voodoo Macbeth a year earlier, the production cemented the reputation of the then 22-year-old director and actor. On November the 12th, 1094, Duncan II of Scotland died. His father was Malcolm III of Scotland and his grandfather Duncan I, the same historical Duncan that Macbeth killed. On November the 13th, 1312, Edward III was born. His reign as King of England lasted 50 years from 1327 to 1377. His son was Edward, Black Prince of Wales, who died 7 months before his father. So Edward's successor was his grandson, 10-year-old Richard II. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending November the 13th, 2017. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week. Shakespeare fans, need a poster to hang in your room? Teachers, need some nifty handouts for your students to peruse as you introduce them to the Bard? Or are you just in the mood for some printable versions of some of the cool infographics found on this website? Well, regardless of how you answered those questions, I've got a scratch for that itch, a solution for that problem. Check out the Bill Shakespeare Project page on the Teachers Pay Teachers website. You can find character maps for Romeo and Juliet and Julius Caesar previewing the characters and their relationships to one another. I've also got geographical maps so your students can wrap their heads around travels within the plays Troilus and Cressida. Yes, even TNC gets some love. All's Well That Ends Well as well. See what I did there? Plus Pericles and Othello. There's also handouts on the so-called history in Macbeth and Julius Caesar, time in Romeo and Juliet, and violence in Titus Andronicus. Also, you'll find entire packets of handouts for both King Lear and Macbeth, including scene-by-scene timelines and the interactions as well as relationships between the characters. And I'll be adding even more soon. Plus, this is where you can find the printable version of the new and improved periodic table of Shakespeare. Some of these are for free, and some are for purchase, but all can be found on the Bill Shakespeare Project page on teacherspayteachers.com. Oh, and if you want to purchase a pre-printed poster-sized version of that periodic table, well then head on over to the Bill Shakespeare Project page on redbubble.com. Links to both of these sites can be found in the left-hand margin of this website.